292.
If you're saved and going to heaven, give me an amen.
Amen.
Okay. I had a privilege of, well, I look at this crowd. That's a good crowd. Thank you. That's encouraging. You know, especially with everything that's going on out there. I was telling Lloyd, you know, out of all the things in life that, you know, you do that you look back and say, maybe I should have done that. I promise you, if there's one place you can trust the Lord, it's got to be here. If not, then the rest of this isn't going to work because it's all based on that, right? You know, and listen, don't take that for granted. Pray for each other. I mean, I hope you come this morning with this idea in your mind that pray and ask God that at least here, that we walk out of here and this virus is not in here. Because, I mean, God can do that, correct? But it works when we also believe that and we ask him to do that. And you know what the Bible says? You have not because you ask not. So if we keep that in our heart and mind, you know, when you walk in here, I believe the Lord will let us be able to continue to do this. And certainly want to pray for those that are, you know, dealing with that even as we speak. Continue to pray for our government. But here's what we're going to do today. This is going to be a no political zone for a few. Lay that aside. It'll be there when you walk. Hey, it'll still be going on when you walk out of that door. But this morning, here's what it's all about. It's not about COVID and it's not about the election. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I need to hear from him. I need to be around his word. I need to get my mind fixed on that. I don't need to be worried about or encumbered about those other things because he's got that. I just want to learn about him today. And I want to be around people that also love him, right? And that's really neat, you know? Travis, he's been here 3 or 4 times now. I just got a chance to know him, move back here because his mom was sick. And you know, it's just neat to have visitors and get to know them. And the beauty of walking with the Lord is being able to share that with our Christian family. So I pray that your hearts will be open this morning. Let's do this. Today is Veterans Day. If you served our country in any of the armed service, can you stand really quick this morning if you did that? Can you stand? Okay. Let's see here. Chris, can you help me? Are they up? Oh, I got them. All right. Can you guys just stand up here real quick? I won't make you say anything, I promise. Yeah, I won't make, come up here real quick. I'm not going to make you say anything. Now, Carl, I may ask him to sing, but. All right. And here, can you hand them out? Carl, starting with you, the service you were in and the time that you served. Well, wait until he gets out of the way. Nice and loud so everybody can hear you.
Serving the United States Navy, 4 years term, and during the height of the Vietnam War, spent 28 months on hazardous duty, combat pay, flight deck on ship USS Randolph, which is trapped under now, sleeps with the fishes, and USS Yorktown, which is a museum in Charleston.
Really? That's cool. You can go to that ship, the one that you served on.
I'd love to take it.
Huh. Amen. Thank you for your service. OB.
Praying for me. that morning I came home, I told my sister-in-law that it might be in Knoxville on a certain day. She was going to school over there. Well, I was sneaking out on my wife. I didn't want her to know it. I walked in the airport, came downstairs, and I told my sister-in-law just to come by. I might be there. I'd been on the phone about a minute. I had talked to my father-in-law across the street. And my sister-in-law walked right in front of me. And I walked, come home, went in the door. The little boy I never saw before.
You know, the mindset that Obi has told me that story before, I thought that was, I don't know if you got that or not, but when he came home, he was told that when you land in America, don't wear your uniform because they're just going to spit on you and treat you bad. He actually got off the plane, took his duffel bag and threw it in the dumpster. You know, and he said when he got home, his sister showed up on a whim on that day, and it happened to be at this exact time he got off that airplane, and so that was cool. That was God directing him right there. And then he walks into his home and he sees a boy that he's never met. Now this is the reason why freedom's never free, right? And I'll tell you this, we're not in battle, but freedom's at stake here. It time with your loved ones, time with your friends, you know, and there is an obstacle out there. And I'm just thank you for these brave men that faced that obstacle. Brother, go ahead.
United States Army, 1972 to 74. I was military police in Seoul, Korea for 16 months over there.
Yeah, thank you for your service. Ron.
United States Air Force from 67 to 72 in Air Defense Command in Seattle and San Francisco. Even though it was during the Vietnam era, I never made it over there. But I had a part in protecting the country.
Amen. Thank you. Corey gets the Young Guy Award.
I was a U.S. Army political senior in 2018.
Where places you?
I was stationed at Fort Bragg. I went to Korea for a little over a year.
Thank you, Corey.
U.S. Army, 1963-65. After that, National Guard and Army Reserve for 32 more years.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
U.S. Air Force, 1972 to 1978. I was stationed in South Dakota, Canada, and Michigan.
Amen. Hey, on behalf of the church, thank you. Thank you for your service. And there's just a gift card to Raise Acts. Just want to let you know that we love you. Thank you. You guys can be seated. Thank you. Okay, Brother Ronnie.
All right, if everybody please stand, turn your hymn book to page 216. Our brother deacons come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Chris, would you ask a blessing offering, please?
Oh,
Everybody please be seated.
Is a fountain filled. and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, 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 wash all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Die, give me Jesus. Give whole world. Give me Jesus.
And now turn that into more than just a song, to be able to keep that in our hearts. When we leave here this morning, take your Bibles, if you wouldn't, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Give you a moment to find that. I enjoy hearing the Bibles and the pages turn. Encourage you to bring a Bible with you. That way you know I'm not making this up. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, and then you can go back and visit it later on. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your grace and mercy in our life that we desperately need. Lord, I thank you for the men that stood here this morning that had take part of their life, Lord, and dedicated it to the serving of our country and the protection of our freedom, Lord. But I also want to thank you for what you did, and Lord, how that you protected an even greater freedom. Father, that we have a hope that no matter what goes on here, we have something to look forward to in heaven, and that's why we can sing a song, Just Give Me Jesus. And Lord, oftentimes the world is out there waiting to take that from us, and I pray you'd help us to hold on to that. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, and if confession needs to be done this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do that. Lord, as we clear our hearts before you, the things that we let you down this week, that they would be open to you, and Lord, that you would give mercy and grace as forgiveness is asked. And Lord, that you would do a work in our heart. Lord, help us to never forget what it's like to come before a holy God and prepare our minds for that. And Lord, because if we hide iniquity in our heart, Lord, you're not going to be able to hear from us. And Lord, I pray each individual responsible for their own heart would do that this morning. And then Lord, I pray that as we do that, Lord, that we are looking forward to a new beginning as we walk out those doors another week. And Lord, yes, we may have to start some things over again. But Lord, I thank you for the fact that you're there with us and you'll help us. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. You know, not just because it's a Veterans Day. You know, I was thinking about World War II and D-Day. When they stormed the beaches in Normandy. And it's, you know, you ever seen any of those movies? And that's all I have to go on because I wasn't even a thought when that was taking place. But from what they tell us and meeting people that were a part of that in the past, realize when those boys, and they were just boys, I mean 17, 18, 19-year-old, when they were on those ships, And they were getting ready to land on that beach, every one of them knew that the life expectancy of somebody hitting that beach was down to seconds. I mean, they can hear them. They could actually hear the machine guns. And for those of us who've never been in the military or certainly not involved in anything like D-Day, you couldn't even imagine the mental, where your mind has to be. You're on that ship. They're firing at you. You can see the land, and you can watch them get off the ship. And as soon as they hit that beach, they're mowed down. What takes place in an individual who then takes the next step because they're the next person? And they make themselves get out of that boat knowing that they could meet the same demise that everybody else met. And that was a change in the war against Germany and was what led us to victory. But there had to be some people that day that were brave. There had to be some people that day that put off the things that they wanted, the things that they dreamed for, and they laid that aside, and they were fighting for somebody. Now, we might not ever spend a second on the beach in Normandy. I was telling this to Awanas, and I preached this in Awanas. It was just 10 minutes, so there's going to be a little recap if you were over there. But I just couldn't get this off my mind. I had another message, and I'll preach it another time. But I really think this is important this morning, because even though you may not have actually ever gone through Normandy or had to get off of that ship on that day, life in itself, you cannot live life without having to go up against some obstacles. When I was in Awanas, I'm looking at these little kids, and they're just little kids. They've never been through a divorce. Okay, they don't have an addiction problem.
Little kids are, you know, they don't have anger problems and those kinds of things. They've never, many of them have never really experienced a major loss in their life. Lots of them have not had to deal with any kind of major physical problems. And I'm looking at those little kids, and I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, how I wish I could just keep them the way they are and that I can protect them. But here's the greatest thing in the world we could ever do for those little kids. And the greatest thing we can do for ourselves is to understand that there are times when we're just going to have to be brave. And there are times that no matter what is in front of us, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through in life, that there's times that you have just got to go on. There's times that you just got to pick up the pieces. There's times when you're going to have to be brave, when what lies in front of you may seem overwhelming to you, but it's not overwhelming to God. Listen, we needed heroes on D-Day, and we still need heroes today. You know, there are people falling. There are marriages that fall apart. There are families that fall apart. Christians and non-Christians, they get into things that they can't get themselves out of. Society around us is falling apart. And if there's ever been a time for people to be strong, and whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can be betrayed by a friend. You can be let down by a family member. And all of that, and all that weighs on you, and you think, how in the world can I go on? I want to show you something this morning in Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 6. The Bible says this, who being talking about Jesus, let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now listen, if you ever think highly about yourself, understand what Jesus had to do to be like you. He had to give up his reputation and take on no reputation to put on human flesh. See, God is above human flesh. He does not have the limits that are inside of human flesh. But Jesus gave that up, and he gave up that reputation and took on no reputation to be like me and you. He took his heavenly body, his spirit, it was put inside of a human body, and he now has the confines of that flesh. And he says this, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. God Almighty in heaven is now reduced to a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that name of Jesus Christ. May I tell you, many, many times in counseling, you'll hear people say, but Pastor, you don't understand, or you don't know my story, or you don't know what I've been through. And as you're talking to them and you're trying to give them hope and you're trying to encourage them, every time you tell them something positive, it's met with a negative. Every time you tell them, well, this is something that you can do that maybe you can overcome, this is always met with a negative. They always say this, but you don't know. You don't understand. You've not had to go through this. You've not had to face that problem. How can you tell me about forgiveness when you've not had to do that? How can you tell me about how to deal with the pain of a physical problem, of knowing what's ahead of me, when you've not gone through that? You don't understand. And may I tell you something? I wish that I could go and I could protect every one of those little kids from any disappointment in life, but I can't do it and you can't do it. As much as you love them, you cannot guarantee them that, and you cannot give them that. The only thing you can give them is the tools that they need to be able to face anything that this life can give them. And that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to spend just a few minutes this morning. Maybe I can't understand everything you've been through. Maybe I can't cover every base of every pain associated in this room. But may I tell you something? I know somebody that can. I can tell you about a story that's going to cover every possible hurt you can possibly imagine, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all started as he was inside that garden that night, and the soldiers came and got him. At that moment, that journey to the cross, just in that one journey to the cross, you're going to see every element of pain and every element of suffering that any human being can ever face. And you know what Jesus did? He faced it, and he faced it in a way that brought honor and glory to his heavenly Father. May I tell you something? Never, ever say, well, he was God. No, he was stuck in our body. He was fighting the same things you and I fight every single day. The pain was the same pain that he had to deal with, because his spirit, just like my spirit's not always going to stay in this body. Amen. I'm going to get a heavenly body that's not going to be confined by what a human body is going to be. I'm going to have a glorified body. One day I'm not going to know what it's like to hurt. One day I'm not going to know what it's like to sin. I'm going to have a perfect body. That's what God had, and he took on this body. So everything that I go through is the same thing that Jesus Christ experienced in his human body. And on that day, when they came and grabbed him in that garden, and they tied his hands, he knew what was in front of him. He knew what was going to happen. And you know what he did? He didn't cower in a corner. He didn't say, woe is me. You know what he did? He said, my hour has come. He knew what was ahead of him. He didn't back out. He said, in other words, he knew the beach was out there. He knew what was going to happen when he hit that shore, but he did it anyway. Listen, life for you and I, where do we get that it's supposed to be all roses? Because it's under a curse. And you're not going to escape this life without some kind of pain. You're not going to escape this life without some kind of sorrow, because we're in a broken system. But may I tell you something? If there's ever been a need for men and women to be brave and to be strong, it is today. And can I tell you something? That no matter what you're facing, if you're going home and you're facing a marriage that's difficult, you know what I'm going to tell you? Be strong. If you're going home and you're facing some physical problems, I'm going to tell you, hey, be strong. If you're experiencing some loneliness, you know what I'm going to tell you? Buck up and be strong. And you may say, well, that's insane. I might not be able to tell you that, but Jesus can. Because you understand, on that day, he felt every bit of that. In that garden, as his story starts, the very first thing that happens to him, a guy that he ate lunch with every day, a guy that he would walk up and down the roads with every day, a guy that he thought was his friend every day, walked up to him in that garden, placed a kiss on his cheek, and it started. It started with a major letdown for somebody that everybody else thought was his friend. If you've ever been betrayed, if you've ever been let down by another individual, if you've ever been disappointed, if you've ever thought, man, I believed a lie, I thought that, if you ever have felt like that, may I tell you something, multiply it by 10, because he made Judas. And on that day, that human being that he made, that he ate lunch with, that he spent time with, and he even washed the guy's feet just hours before that. You don't think that that was a painful experience emotionally for the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely, because he's in a body that's tied to emotions. And certainly, that weighed heavy on him, on the human side of who he was. But may I tell you something? He didn't give up. And that moment, he didn't let the cloud of depression come in. He held on. And may I tell you something? I might not understand your pain, but he does. Amen. He understands that. And you know what he did? He stayed strong. And on that day, he didn't lose sight of what he was doing. He didn't spend the next 2 weeks in the bed and not get out of it. He didn't shut off the rest of the world because he'd been let down by somebody. You know what he did? He held on and he pushed. And if he can, there's greater things than down here. There's greater relationships than just relationships down here. There's something far above that. And that's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ could move on past that incident in the garden with somebody doing that to him when he could have stopped the whole thing, then you and I can embrace hope and the fact that, man, I not only is he God, not only is he Savior, but man, he showed us what it's like to be brave and to be strong. Man. And he went past that emotion and he continued on. And as that can, you know, so then they come up to Jesus and they're pushing him and they're shoving him and they're treating him like he's a criminal. He's treating like he's doing something wrong. And you know, he's no longer, you know, he is the King of Kings, but he is being treated just like somebody that's a criminal. And you may say that you've been mistreated in this world, and this world will do that to you. But no, there's nothing that could equal what the fact that here he is. He actually was there the day the stars were spoken to in existence, and he's letting a human being push him. He's let, listen, there are things that you may, just because you can doesn't mean you should. He could have stopped that. He took abuse by me and you, and he did not have to. And he persevered. He never shouted. He never got angry. In fact, if I'm wrong, I'll sit down. I can't find where it changed his attitude one bit. Do you know, while he was standing there, Peter took out his sword, cut off the guy's ear. It's laying on the ground. Jesus reaches down and puts the, you know what I'd say? Hey, serves you right. Good luck fixing that. Why? Because I just got betrayed. Why? Why is he acting that way? Because they're arresting me. Why is he acting that way? Because I'm being treated the way I shouldn't be treated. He didn't do that. He put that aside, and he kept his mind on the task at hand, and that's doing the will of the Father, no matter what hurt comes his way. And they're pushing him, and they're shoving him, and he has to stand in front of a human judge, and that human judge begins to say, well, you did this, and you did that. You know, not only that, while Jesus was on the cross, not only, now he knew that there was an enemy among them. He knew who Judas really was. But I tell you what, there was another pain that was coming that day. And that was the pain of Peter sitting in a group of men. And here you are in the deepest pain of your life, going through the hardest obstacle you will ever face. And somebody, maybe you knew Judas wouldn't always be there. He knew that Judas was among them, and he wasn't part of them. He knew that. And he also knew what Peter would do. But could you imagine the hurt as he had to listen to somebody that close to him say, I don't know who he is. I don't know. I've never met the man. I don't want to associate with the man. Meanwhile, Jesus is actually paying for Peter's sin. You do not think that that went in deep and hard with him. It doesn't matter what's happened to you or what's happened to me. It is nothing compared to what Jesus did on the cross that day. And you know what he did? He kept going on. He didn't give up. He didn't let it change his attitude. He did not let anything that day change what he thought about human beings. He was willing to go all the way to the cross to pay for the sins for every last one of them that was there. And that's what he, so then, not only that, can you imagine if they got him there and he's got on this garment, they actually took his clothes off. I mean, human being, tied his hands and ripped his garment off of him, and he's standing there with no clothes on, completely naked. Now listen, guys, seriously. Even myself, I get to this point where I think that I have been done wrong, or that this happened to me and this is unfair. Come on, seriously. Do you believe this whole story that he really is God?
Amen.
Do you believe that he was really God? Why in the world did God let a human being take his clothes off? And you don't think that that was a difficult thing for him to do? You think, oh, just get over that. When somebody tells us down here that we need to get over something, we get all offensive about that, right? When somebody says, hey, you just need to get over it and move on, man, we don't like that. We want to, man, can you, what about him? What about him standing there where they're laughing at him? Think about the disgrace that he felt with women and children. And his enemy standing there, and he's supposed to be God, and he's being humiliated to that level. Do you think he was swearing at those people? Do you think he was saying, man, I hope you spend eternity in hell? Was he saying, wait till my, did anything like that come out of his mouth? Do you understand why? Because he was showing us something that I desperately need today. With him, I can go through anything. There is not a hurt he cannot heal. There is not a path in life, that he is not greater than that path. And if you don't believe it, I can't help that. But may I tell you something? You wrap your mind and you wrap your arms around that truth, nothing down here will stop you, because it can't, because it didn't stop him. I mean, there's nothing down here that you can say, you can come out of any hurt, you can come out of any situation to the honor and glory of God, because he did it. That's how come you can do it. It's because he did it. When you're lonely, you haven't experienced loneliness like Jesus experienced loneliness. On that, his hands are nailed to a cross. There's spikes in his feet. He's bloodied from front to back. His beard's been pulled out. Peter's already left him. He's there on the cross that day by himself, and all of a sudden the ground begins to shake and the sky turns black, and Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We don't know problems. We don't know loneliness. We don't know what it's like to be in that spot. And you know what Jesus said? For the joy of the cross, he was there that day by himself. God himself had to turn away because of all the sin. Do you believe every sin? You think about things. Thank the Lord. There are things that if we knew what was inside of every head in this room, we would all run out of here because we wouldn't want to be around anybody, including ourselves. And every bit of that day was placed on the body in the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All that sin, and it was so vile and it was so disgusting that God could not look at it. And there he was, the last life that I actually had to turn away. And you heard your Savior say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's never an excuse to give up down here. None. You can name your problem and I can tell you, do you know what we need? Man, Jesus was brave. Man. Jesus knew what was ahead of him and he never backed down. Jesus experienced hurt like no human being can ever experience hurt. And that clock's moving, so let me just read you this and I'm going to have to close. John 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let me get there really quick. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and then verse. Let's go to verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you. Listen as I read this and I'm done. John 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. This is Jesus speaking. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come out of God. I came forth from the Father and come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. Want to look at verse 31. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Then this is what he says. Listen to 32 and 33. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Look what Jesus said. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. He actually looked at that crowd and said, the hour's come, and every one of you are going to leave me alone. And then he said this, yea, I'm not alone, because I have the Father. And look, guys, that's all I can tell you. There's been many a tear cried in this room for all kinds of reasons. And at that moment, you may say, every man has left me and I'm alone. And I can look at you and say, Mike, you're not alone. Sean, you're not alone. Violet, you're not alone. And you know what Jesus showed us that day? All the way. The nails didn't stop him. The spitting didn't stop him. The cat of nine tails didn't stop him. He endured every bit of that and rose victorious. Amen.
Amen.
And may I tell you something? What do you and I think that we're going to escape pain and heartache and sorrow? I mean, why do you think we're above that? We're not. And we will. And all I can tell you is this. We have the Father. That's all I can tell you. All I can tell you is you can take that one thought and put it in whatever department you need right now, and it will suffice. You can take that one thought. I mean, listen to this. I'm just going to read it one more time. It says this. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. Listen to this. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. I'm going to read that one more time. These things, what things? The things about this. Yes, you may be left all alone, but you're not alone. You have the Father. And then he says this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Woo! Now, no matter what's out there, guys, you just hold on to that.
Amen.
Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Woo! Then there's help for my hurt and yours. You can get through it. You do not have to be a... Jesus Christ was not a casualty that day. Nah, our system would like to make him when he was not a casualty that day. You do not have to be a casualty. No matter what happens to you, you are not a casualty when you arise above it. You're not a casualty. Take yourself out of the casualty department today. Take yourself out of that department. You're not a casualty when you rise above it. And you can rise above it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he overcame the world. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. And it seems that we were given a year of lots of uncertainty, and then you just got normal life on top of it. And the world system around likes to make excuses for everything. And I just want to tell you, I don't need to know your story. I don't need to know all the details. I can just tell you this. If you're a human being and you've lived any amount of time, you have experienced loss. You've experienced pain. You've experienced loneliness. You've experienced fear. You may have never tell anybody that. In the dark recesses of your mind, you know that that's there. Every one of us. And if you haven't, you will. And there will be things that will try to change your attitude. It'll try to change your direction. It'll try to damage your heart, where you begin to not trust people, when you begin to be indifferent and angry and upset and mean and all of these things. And you can have bitterness in your heart and resentment and all those things. But if there's anybody that could have cried that, it would have been Jesus. But he didn't. You know what he did? On that cross, he said, "It is finished." Brave to the end. Jesus never flinched. Never backed down. Oh, they beat him. They certainly tried. Man, they put everything they possibly could in that man's way to get him to fail, and he didn't do it. Because he overcame the world. Well, take your pain and the uncertainty of life, and you wrap your arms around that statement. Be of good cheer. You know, he's getting ready to go to the cross. You know what he says? Hey, don't be sad. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you know that's how certain he was? Because he hadn't done that yet. It's still ahead of him. He's only in chapter 16. Isn't that awesome? I have overcome the world. Well, maybe today you just need to attach that thought to some place in your life, and there's no better place than this old-fashioned altar. When God spoke to your heart, as she plays, the altar's open. You know, it's very clear that Jesus, he never quit. So don't you quit on him. He never gave up. Don't you give up on him. He never let the experience of the cross change how he felt about me. Don't you let this world change what you think about him. You hold on to that thought. I am not alone. The Father's with you. And he overcame the world. You know, because people won't understand that. But there is a lot of help there if you'll let it. I mean, clear the baggage out. Do not walk out those doors with anything of this system of this world weighing you down. Leave it in here. Don't let it follow you out that door. And you be a good cheer. Everybody ought to walk out of here with a smile and ask you why. Because he overcame the world. And that's including the system that we're dealing with. He overcame it. Right? And you know why? I can look at you and say, no matter, and I've done this. I've looked at people and say, man, don't give up. But you don't know. You don't understand. You know what I can tell you? Nope. I know somebody who does. And you know what he'd tell you? He'd say, but the nails hurt. And he'd say, I know. But the betrayal hurt. He'd say, I know. But the disappointment hurt. And he'd say, I know. You could name anything. And he'd say, I know. And he's going to tell you, don't give up. How are you going to tell him? You may tell me I don't understand. But he does. And that's who's with us. Amen. Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer?